Hello everyone, Spicy Mangoes here. I'm Rahul. Kamran is with me, and today we have a special guest, Manu. And today we're going to talk about something special. We're going to talk about beliefs, faith, religion, God, and everything all around. So it's going to be quite interesting. Why this topic? Because I think the faith or religion or God comes up in a conversation, like things that cannot be explained comes up in a conversation when you want to talk about a bigger sense. So we just wanted to understand how different people perceive it differently. So maybe I can first also introduce our guest. He's Manu. Maybe he can introduce himself. So hi Manu, you can just say a few words about yourself.
Hi, I'm an entrepreneur based in Tallinn. I'm originally from India. And I'm generally fascinated by philosophy and trying to understand why people do things the way they do, and where some ideas stop working.
Okay, well, since we are from the same country, but I would still like to know which part of India are you from?
I'm from a small town called Ponnur. In coastal Andhra,
okay,
which is a South Indian state.
Okay, cool.
And where is that, if you don't mind me asking?
In the south.
So that my ignorant self. okay. So you're from south part of India. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm from the north. I'm from Punjab. It's in the north of India. So it will be interesting how our thoughts match, even because our country is big and we live so far away from each other. So
yeah.
Gonna so, be interesting.
Yeah, Rahul, you share the same land as Nirav Modi.
Yeah, he's in the center. So Kamran, let's begin with you. I would like to ask you, what do you believe in, and why?
First of all, thank you, Rahul, for such an amazing topic, and also for. Welcome, Manu, to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. And to answer your question, what do I believe in and why? It's a very, very difficult question. I think very difficult for everyone to potentially answer, especially in the way that's more sort of politically, let's say, correct in the social media era, in a way. But I personally is somebody who has gone through various belief systems and experienced different ideologies or belief systems, and currently my current stand, which is of course can change in the future when I'm older potentially, or you know, as you go through time, but I currently wouldn't associate myself with any belief system, and I would rather say that yeah, I believe in science. And I believe in constant sort of desire for understanding the world around us and exploring it and finding out new information and not assuming certain things right away, such as existence of a super powerful entity. If you would ask me, okay, when let's say that it comes down to two things, answering the question or saying a statement that there is something that has created versus its randomness, I like the explanation of randomness rather than a certain being that has created
okay,
that or
okay, okay. Okay, sounds good for now. How
for
about
now.
You, Manu? What do you believe in and why?
Actually, I'm kind of like agnostic. I don't really believe a lot of the things, but also I don't really have a proof that God doesn't really exist. So I'm still searching for where that truth is, and my approach to this, my beliefs or my religion or something is. Take the best of different religions and create mine. That's my approach.
Okay, then I can go for the same question as well. I would answer it from the heading of this episode, which is beliefs undetermined. And it is kind of my own situation right now. And as Kamran mentioned, that we have had a long life journey. And even in my own life journey, I've had different kind of phases where I was very believing in a super entity. I don't know, at some point of age, and then you were always, you can rely on someone, and then you believe that that thing exists, not a thing like a super being or let's say a god exists. Yeah. But I would say at this moment, it's kind of undetermined, and I'm more also towards the side of randomness, as Kamran mentioned. For me, existence doesn't have a meaning, but that would go towards existentialism. But in any case, firstly, I don't care even if there's a god.
No, but you don't care now. But if there is a god, and this god is characterized by various belief systems, which there are a lot of common things that these belief systems agree, such as existence of potentially heaven.
I
or
mean, for me, if there is a god, then God would be super nice, and why would he be bad to me? You know, I'm a nice person.
So you're talking about a god that hasn't been discovered yet. So,
okay. Yeah, maybe. So, in a short conclusion, I would want to say that my beliefs are quite undetermined, and they move from complete randomness to less randomness, but not really. Also, I wouldn't say agnostic, more towards science and like facts. Okay, since we're talking about it, I have another definition. So we already do the definitions first. What is religion, or what is your religion? I don't know, what is religion in your point of view, and of what religion would you identify with?
Okay, you want me to go first? Well, I think of religion, when I think of religion, is as a set of guidelines of how you should live your life. And basically, if you follow these guidelines, it's a formula, basically. If you follow this formula, then you will be rewarded. Then you will have a good outcome. You will not have pain, but rather you will have a gain. So religion for me is just a set of
rules and regulations.
Rules and regulations by which you need to manage your life to achieve the ultimate and the eternal existence.
Okay. How about you, Manu?
I see religion as more like, I don't see it as a scripture or something is written in the book and there is a guy who will interpret that book for you, or somebody has preached it at some point in the history. I don't really take that kind of approach. I take it like, you live your life based on some ideas. And for me, religion is that composition. So if you took ideas from, say, 3-4 different religions, like in the literal sense, like in a common sense, if you took them from 3-4 people, 3-4 religions and made your own, and when I ask, what's your religion? That's what I'm trying to know. I mean, what do you kind of live your life by, or what's your guiding set of things?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can answer the same as well. From my perspective, it starts from the like a very ancient way. For me, in a philosophical sense, it would be a randomness, like the quest of certainty from randomness. So we always want to be certain, and then we have a set of rules and guidelines that make us in a certain community, which gives us the feeling of certainty with all that randomness. And I would just like to give some examples. For example, we can talk about religions which are not followed by in the mainstream anymore, which are like Greek mythology and Nordic mythology. Well, it also relates towards many different kind of mythologies. Like there's always a sun god. There's always a god which has rain related to it. So god of thunder, it would be god of rain. It's also in Indian mythology as well. And from my perspective, or I think I read it somewhere, that it comes from the idea that in the ancient communities, when we were living as early civilizations, we would see sun as a unreachable source of energy, like and rain, like sun and rain both give us like the necessary resources to grow crops and farms, and in a way that you would always pray to that thing. Eventually, that kind of an idea, just praying to something that you cannot understand. And if, let's say, if you're asking for rain, rain God, please rain, and it rains, then it just gives you a bias to believe it in more. And that's how religions come to be, the ancient ones, and then the modern ones come in a different point of view, but you can find similarities how religions come to be.
They're so next versions of these, what you mentioned. It's just the next version. It's a version 2.0, more advanced and more thought through, you know?
It's a guidelines that a community can follow for certain answers that you don't have them. You don't have the answers for. So it gives you certainty. So that's
so
my kind
like
of an
to
answer.
If I want to understand your point better, like, you believe that religion is something humans designed to deal with nature, like to live with nature.
Yeah, I think to deal with existence.
With uncertainty.
I would more like...
No, but
with, to deal with uncertainty.
I mean,
yeah, so.
Your examples are more of sun and rain. Would you call it more with the physical elements of nature or...
Yeah, of course, physical elements like... physical elements on which our life belongs. I mean, if you go in different kind of pantheons of different religions, even I think ancient like indigenous Americans or indigenous Inca civilization, you will see like some of the gods and their powers are quite similar to the gods and power which were in let's say Norway or let's say India. But these cultures were cut off for like, I don't know, thousands of years, and they have never met each other, but still they have the similarities. So from my perspective, it's kind of a fact that no matter, you always want to be a bit certain from randomness.
Would you think that some religions are harsher or more lax because they evolved in the harsh environments?
To also, like, as I understand Manu's question was, there's an element of the context in which certain belief systems come to occur. We always have to take into account the historical element and the contextual environmental, you know, elements in which a specific, you know, belief system has occurred. And in that sense, I fully agree with you. Now, the question, how do they actually manage to generalize to a larger group? I would actually answer that they don't. What they do is, and what historically has happened is, through conquering, through potentially, not necessarily violence, but conquering and wars, the certain belief systems manage to spread. And if you look at the geographics of the belief systems, either it's if you take major ones like Christianity or Islam, then you always will see there's a pattern in geographical element, like you know. So there's many historical and geographical sort of factors that play into it. Now, why do people go for it? Is what Rahul has mentioned about uncertainty, and our desire to have answers for uncertainty is instinctual. Because it's an instinct of survival. If you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, then, you know, you can't really live your life in a way. Like, you need some sort of certainty. Like, today, for example, I wake up, I know I will have breakfast without getting bombed or, you know, eaten by a tiger. And that desire to know what's going to happen extended into hundreds of years. I would like to know what happens after I die. That's where the belief systems fill the gap of that uncertainty. So,
okay, maybe I think I have a good answer for this. So maybe religion is something that helps you to give answers which you cannot get in practical life.
Yes.
For example,
yes.
What happens when
you
die.
Yeah.
So if you get some answers from a certain kind of a community, then you go for it. And it's just not religion, it could be a cult as well.
It could be a cult, any belief system. It's just certain ones are...
Well, I think any belief system is a cult.
True, but it's just certain ones are made or developed by a very smart...
Wait.
Yeah,
wait.
Okay.
Everything is made up, right?
Okay, came to be is a more correct word. Any sort of belief system that becomes popular and captures more and more people, I think partially is because the context in which it was brought and etc., and the people by which it was sort of what is it? What is the word? Like has been spread. Partially, it's again, you could say it's due to randomness, right? Like, for example, because Jesus existed many years before the Bible was actually written. So a lot of what was written was written by people who knew somebody who knew Jesus. You know what I mean? And in a way, you have that element of randomness as well, to a degree where it just worked because it just worked. And you can bring many examples.
That worked. What, like when you say it worked, what do you mean? Worked for what?
I mean, it got picked up by people. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. There are many apps like TikTok.
Sorry.
Yeah. But for also maybe listeners, that's a good point that you mentioned. Like, if I ask you a question, why TikTok was successful? A lot of analysts are going to go around and they're going to start analyzing and everything. But there's an element of being at the right spot at the right time and then being picked up by randomness in a way at these sort of random elements that we can't exactly explain. And that's how, let's say, TikTok became super popular and a very expensive company or whatever. I'm sure there were apps like TikTok, thousands of them on the App Store. But why, you know, TikTok, etc. So, And partially, you can also, I mean, you could sort of go into, if you look at the major religions versus India, how many do you guys have religions? How many belief systems you have in India? 3,000?
I mean, I can give just a fun fact over just our religion. Like, let's say Hinduism. When people say Hinduism, it's because I was curious myself where this word comes from. And then it wasn't really a difficult answer, but I didn't know that. So the answer comes that there's a river Indus, which starts somewhere right now. The source is in China. So it starts from China. So, and it goes towards India and then flows towards Pakistan. And 75% of it is right now in Pakistan. But anyway, so Indus was name of the river, and the Persians called people living across Indus as Hindus. I mean, in Persian, Indus is called Hindus. And then Persians call the people living on the side of the river as Hindus. Hindu. So in a way that anyone who was living on the river, they were named by someone else. I mean, we did not name ourselves as Hindu. For example, there were different belief systems. But at the time that people, like, because we were invaded several times, like when several conquerors were coming here, they're like, they're all the same. They're praying to this god, that god. And I think because Hinduism is quite an open source religion, so you just accepted that this is part of a whole big umbrella.
Yeah.
Then, for example, my gods, like people we pray in the north, might be very different from the south, but we still have some branchings that connect them. So I think that connection comes a bit later.
Yeah. So this is an example of a geographic of element to.
But also, like, I mean, when you ask me, like, what is our religion? It's just like, whatever we were following, we were just praying to some gods, and then outsiders named us this. We didn't name ourselves that we are Hindus. So other people were naming us Hindus in their books, and that's how even the name India comes from India.
I didn't know that.
Coming back to the part you said about so the use of
what are your thoughts on it?
Religion is, you mean, to deal with the fear of unknown, like to give kind of a certainty to life, a feeling of certainty, if not actual certainty. But one of my theories or one of my gut feelings about this is like, let's take the Middle East. It's been a desert for an extremely hostile environment for human survival for at least 1,000 years, maybe. And And the only way you can survive in a hostile environment is through discipline. Like you need to have extremely strong discipline. Otherwise, you can easily end up killing each other and then your race will end right there. Like if you start stealing and there is no one enforcing some kind of order, you can easily start killing each other. And then, and if one tribe dies, and that can be the end of the ideas that it developed, or the language, or the technology, everything that came with it.
Yeah.
So my kind of like one of my theories is that religions develop in context of this abundance, like how much abundance you can get from the nature you have in the nature around you. So if you are in a hostile environment, they tend to be harsher because you need to kind of like train the population in some basic discipline. And if you are growing up in a very green and gifted geography, it generally tends to be more grand and accepting of different ideas.
Okay, so let me put it this way. So let's say civilization or cultures which have less resources are more tend to be stricter than...
Because again, it's a survival thing.
People which are already civilizations that are resource abundant and they do not have to care about because they can help
everyone. I mean,
they
can coexist without having to... Well, like, say, like...
No, I mean, I would disagree in a way that... I mean, there are several examples. I don't know. How
I'll give you one example,
count, I mean,
like maybe for context.
Yes, yes.
So if there is, if you are a tribe in a desert, okay, and you have one, what is that, spring, like where you get water? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
oasis,
that's
oasis,
only one
yes.
water resource for your whole community. And let's say someone decides to go and pee in it or something. Okay. So, and let's say you are in some very green area where there are like there's water almost everywhere you can look. Even if somebody decides to pee in one pool, like there are other pools that. So the point is, in first case, people would be seriously angry and their survival is seriously threatened. And
Well, from my point of view, like their survival would automatically comes from, like, how many people do you think they live in Sahara? So, I mean, since there are less resources, there are less people there. So proportionally, people are always depending on the resources available. For example, there were many civilizations where one of the rivers dried up and the civilization vanished. And it doesn't care about the religion.
Yeah,
and
no,
the people just
Rahul, but I don't think... The number of people is relevant here. What I think I agree with Manu in that perspective that yes, maybe when you are a civilization or a tribe, and then you see that, for example, there is a bit of a chaos and that tribe is kind of surviving, but it could be better or it could become a more sort of prosperous tribe if there was a certain set of rules and you're educated enough and you've seen life enough to be able to kind of tell them that, you know, you guys like we need some sort of a mechanism and this can be consciously done or subconsciously done, so you don't necessarily then in that case bringing discipline might be a good idea. And it might be that yes, like for example if you talk about harshness, that the harsher the conditions, the harsher the rules have to be. And maybe that's true as well, but I'm not sure if that's sort of generalized. It's possible to generalize just based on one factor of harsh conditions of like geographical.
Yeah, I think many anthropologists would disagree.
In the sense, in the sense that it's not so.
I agree with you. I can't agree with your point because I'm not an anthropologist. I mean, I cannot. Say on their behalf that all of the people have followed the same.
The point is, you can't. While one factor, as you mentioned, the harsher conditions, the harsher the rules. I think what it would be that the harsh rules may be driven by one of the factors being harsh conditions, but probably there are other factors that we don't necessarily are able to analyze simply because we don't have much information of that era. And some of these belief systems, they occurred in the period where there wasn't much of knowledge. There wasn't scientists who would be writing down all these, you know, observations and things like this. Yeah. So that's why we maybe tend to say, okay, it's due to one factor, but I'm
obviously,
sure there are other factors.
There is a second factor, like which everyone knows, is that one of the priest or the messenger between the god and the society, the person, the communicator, he is definitely trying to save his own place in the whole scheme of things. Like he's going to create harsher rules just to kill some of the opposition to his idea.
I think we have drifted away.
We drifted
from
away
our
a bit, but
a bit.
What I think that if we could sort of we could sort of sum up, I think the times that the religions were created or any type of belief systems at that point at that geography is probably justified. Simply because of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why it was created? Do we need it today? Does it work in today's? Is there a time element to it? That's a different discussion. That's yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I have another question. So we drift. It's kind of the same because we're talking religion and God already. I wanted to ask: is there a real difference between faith versus religion? And when I say this question, is that because, I mean, can a person believe in God without having a religion? I mean, as Manu mentioned, he's agnostic, so probably he can give us more information about that. But my question is how much it differs. Like, people need to be in religion for believing in God, or they can still believe in God and not be part
maybe
of
also, in short, if you can explain what agnostic means, just maybe for some of our listeners might not know what that is.
So for me, agnosticism is kind of like a... when you look for scientific proofs, because when you see that everything needs to be explained by a law of nature, like a law of physics or something, you can't really explain all of it, because at least today we don't have that universal theory that explains everything. So we are still in that search, and without that theory, so when some things are left unexplained and randomness, the chance of randomness, the probability of some things happening is such a low figure, then it leaves some doubt or some possibility for a supernatural being who can, you know, compose things together. But but at the same time, there is enough contradiction in the way this theory has been put together, put forward by the religions across the board. So that's where agnosticism is, in my opinion. Like, it doesn't really take a stand on either side.